Saturday, 10th week, Ordinary Time 1. Readings from the second book of Corinthians and Gospel of Matthew. Readings, second book of Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, being reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair black, white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Theme: to sincerely love each other. We are living in an age during which all people's relationships are in crisis. People continually violate what they promise with God and others. Look at leaders of nations. Before they are selected, they promise to do many good things for people. But after they are selected, they don't fulfill their promises. Similarly, in the areas of economy and financial, the economic crisis of the world happens because so many CEOs of companies and banks took the money of their government and people as their own. The same thing happens in the family life. Many couples live together without marriage or having a wedding. Even without a marriage license or a wedding. Even though they promised before God, more than 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Lastly, in the priestly and consecrated life, many men and women give up their vows because they can't keep them. Does the vow have any value in today's society? Can God still believe in what people promise? Today's readings concentrate on the topic that people must sincerely love God and others. In the first reading, Paul advised the Corinthian faithful to understand and remain in God's love before they can announce this love and conquer others' souls for Christ. In the gospel, Jesus teaches his disciples that they have no need to swear at all, but to train themselves to always speak, live, and witness for the truth. Simply speaking, let what you say be simply yes or no. Do not add anything more to it. Analysis Reading 1. Whoever in Christ, he is the new creature. God's love should transform people. When people love each other, they love everything that belonged to their beloved. Even things that they hate or don't concern now become lovable. The Vietnamese adages, though exaggerated, highlight some of this point when describing bad habits of women, such as, she used to eat at marketplaces, but her husband says that she shall not eat a lot at home. She used to snore during her sleep, but her husband says she creates fun for the house. Similarly, when people have God's love, they can't tolerate others' weaknesses or bad habits. To God, St. Paul advised a Corinthian faithful, Christ died for all, so that those who might live no longer for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. In our life, if the saving of one from death can't be repaid, how can one repay Christ for his death so that he can live forever? St. Paul felt the deep of Christ's love for him when he cried out, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives with me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To others, if we see others under human view, we shall not feel the need to love and to sacrifice for them. But if we see under God's view, we shall easily love and sacrifice for them, because all of us are brothers and sisters who have the same Father and were redeemed by Christ's sacred blood. When one of our brothers and sisters is lost, God is not happy. If we feel God's sadness, we shall be ready to conquer that soul and bring him back to God. Paul probably had this feeling when he said, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The mission of reconciliation. Once we're permeated with God's love, the disciples are sent out to witness this love. First of all, they must use the gospel to speak to people about God's love for them. Secondly, they must express this love by their witnessed life of loving and helping others. The process of reconciliation always has two dimensions. People reconcile with God. Through Christ, people are reconciled with God because Christ takes away people's sins against God. Christ himself gave this mission of reconciliation to his disciples. As Paul explained, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Two disciples' duties are to preach about God's mercy and to live in a way that helps people to recognize God's love for them and their sins against God. These two things shall help people to come to a stall to reconcile with God. People reconcile with others. Sins aren't only violations against God, but also others. Therefore, people must reconcile and forgive others after they are forgiven by God and reconciled with him. Gospel, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Don't swear at all. Jesus taught his disciples, again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all. First, this is Jesus' ideal teachings for his disciples in chapter 5 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Laws are only the minimum requirement to prevent people from sinning. But to become Jesus' disciples, he demands people advance more than keeping of the laws. In today's passage, Jesus taught his disciples to always be faithful in words and deeds. To understand these words, we need to differentiate at least two reasons why people use God's name to swear. Swearing without thinking. Some people have a tendency to call the names of God, the Blessed Mother, and the saints without a cause. For example, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They call these names without thinking of them. This is a sin that violates the second commandment. The Jewish people don't dare to call God's name, Yahweh, but substitute it with other titles. Some people used to take God's name to swear, even though the matter isn't important or no one makes them swear. Swearing with calculation. Some swear but avoid using God's name because they know that the law requires them to do when they swore in God's name. They point to either heaven or earth or the temple or their head, as Jesus listed today, so that they don't have to keep their oath. Modern people think if they cross their pointed and middle fingers when they swear, their oath has no value. They forget that God is everywhere and fathoms all their thinking. They can't point to anything to swear and not to keep their oath because all things in this universe belong to God. Can a believer swear in the public courts? First, we need to understand that if we live in a good world or community, we don't need to swear at all. All the Essenes and Quakers, they live in a closed community or village. They trust each other without swearing. But the believers live in a world full of falsities, so they must follow the court's procedure to protect both their and others' rights. Moreover, the oath in the court is in the name of the national constitution, not in God's name. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. As Jesus' disciple must always speak, live, and witness. As a disciple of Jesus, we must always speak, live, and witness the truth. If a person is always faithful in all matters, his word is enough for others to believe without a need of the oath, without a need for an oath. But if a person is unfaithful, no matter how much or how solemnly he swears, his words mean nothing. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples that they need to train in order to be faithful than the empty promises in their mouth. Another serious manner is the habit of backbiting and tail-bearing to defame others. This can be a serious sin and needs to be terminated right away. We hardly estimate the damages with our backbiting or tail-bearing can cause for others. Sometimes it can destroy others' lives. Usually the tale-bearers add more things in to increase their story's attraction without paying attention to damages that can happen to others. Even so, Jesus warned his disciples, anything more is from the evil one. Application in life. God's love is the first thing we need to have before we can sincerely love others. If we don't have this love, it is easy for us to betray each other. Remember that we are Christ's disciples. We must live in a way that we always speak and be witnesses for the truth. If we always do that, swearing isn't necessary.